Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. So what will your legacy be? What about our next generation? Where will they be? Will they be in the outdoors? So are they going to be on the couch or the trail? Video games, or kayaking? By the way, that's my only sound I can make in a video game. And true story, to this day, I have never, ever played a video game because my deal in life is if I can play a video game, that means I have enough time to be outside. And guess what? I'm going outdoors. Now, take a walk through a local park after school. No kids. Walk through some suburban streets after school. No kids. Where are they? And obviously we know the answer is indoors. So how do we expose them to the great outdoors? Something that, I mean, for me, growing up every waking minute in the outdoors, and now as an adult, every waking minute in the outdoors. This is a dilemma for our society. It's a dilemma for the outdoor retailers, and I speak to quite a number of them, and their concerns are, well, who will be purchasing their products in the future? The future, well, who's going to protect and preserve our habitats? Why would some child today grow up and think about protecting and preserving, something they've never experienced? So to me, there's an importance to it. So let me give you an example of my good friend, Dr. Bob. Growing up, his son, Michael, loved video games. Well, guess what? There would come a time, and Bob had a beautiful piece of property in the back with big yard woods in the back. And there would come a time Bob would just basically say, Michael, here's your coat. Put it on. Go outside. I don't want to. Boom. And just like you would just hear the door closing. Whoop, and Michael would be outside. Well, I'm going to let you know that as Michael grew up, he went on many hikes and many fishing trips and kayaking trips with us. And he, Bob, his family, they are the Bob's favorite trip is a backpacking trip up to Mount Washington. His whole life growing up, when we were growing up, Bobby would like, go to Mount Washington, and backpacking trips, and he would arrange them, and off we would be going to Mount Washington. But Michael is now, see, it is somehow, and not just you're tossing your kid out the back door in a fun way, I'm joking, but you're getting your kid to get outside versus sitting inside with those video games. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, I'm going to show you how I introduced my niece Gabby to the outdoors, and quite a number of this show will be dedicated to that. So the first thing was, I guess Gabby was, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 years old and bought her first bike because that's what Uncle Joey B does. And buy her first bike, and I'm going to teach her how to ride that bike. And we always talk about safety, and you're going to see through this show, everything in the outdoors, safety and safety, because I talk about that helmet being on all the time. And that includes adults. You know what I find amazing is you'll see a family biking through a county park or something, and you'll see kids with helmets and parents with no helmets. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you a good role model? Again, I know it's a little tangent, but it's an important one to understand. Are kids to believe that as you get older, your head gets harder and you can't get hurt? Hey, it's for your safety, but to be a good role model, your helmet is on. And Gabby now knows that. Because when she first began to pedal, I'm along jogging alongside of her. And then once I got onto my bike, well, now our helmets are on all the time, everywhere we go. And I'm going to give an example. First experience, and not truly in the outdoors, but getting her outside, I am letting you know the first time that she was riding that bike on her own and wailing. And by the way, I wasn't jogging. I was sprinting alongside of her. And you heard her go, this is awesome. And she was screaming at while she was pedaling. It was just exciting to see. But now, hey, we chat about it. This year, we head to the trails in a state park near her home. And there are some paved trails because, again, with younger kids, very important to just get a nice flat surface. But there are some nice paved trails that go through a state park so we can see nature. And we can be, actually both of us, are exposed to nature on a bike ride. So that's sharing a little bit of both. Now, if you're a novice in the outdoors, this is a way for you to learn as your child learns. Stop at a ranger station. Hey, I still do this, and I'm an environmental scientist, and I ask rangers questions. But, you know, you can learn about native plants. You can learn about native animals. You can ask questions, and it encourages your child to begin to become inquisitive as well. So these stops and rides in the state parks, they're great. Now, one of our excursions, Gabby and I, is to Photo. In a county park near her, humongous park, there are quite a number of white-tailed deer. So we get our bikes and our helmets, and we are biking out there, being in the outdoors, enjoying the outdoors, enjoying each other's company, and photographing whitetails. And hey, if you ever want to see my photos, we are on every bit of social media, Twitter, Tumblr, Flickr, Facebook. It just goes on. I don't even know half the things I'm on. And hey, many of you always tweet me questions, and you want to look at some of my photos, you could tweet me at Joey B Outdoors. That's J-O-E-Y-B-E Outdoors. Now, one of Gabby's next excursions when she was growing up was to fish at a local pond. And this pond, and I'm going to tell you right now, was loaded with bluegills, because if you're going to get a child, and we always talk about that pond, hooked on fishing, you better be able to get a child to be able to catch fish. And bluegills, probably the most ravenous creature on earth, will eat every single earthworm you ever put out there. Well, I'm going to let you know that if, once again, you may be the rookie parent or uncle or godparent out there, and, you know, it is inexpensive to buy an ultralight rod and reel. Ramsey Outdoor, you can buy all your gear there. You know, call the experts there. Or, hey, stop into a local sports shop near you. Specifically, one is, you know, is a fishing store, because they really, truly are experts. Your neck of the woods, and they'll help you out. Well, you can put an earthworm out there. You can put a mealworm out there. And I'm going to let you know that all of a sudden, with the earthworms, Gabby is actually, before we use it, she had a hold the earthworm, which I highly recommend for a kid, because it, you know, people are like, some parents are like squeamish with insects and bugs and say, hey man, just get. And she began to name every earthworm before the earthworm went to get the bluegill. So it was just a cute little thing, but it's an experience in itself. And you're also teaching CPR, not the CPR that we all think about. This is catch, photo, and release. So you're teaching your child to catch a fish, to enjoy it, to photograph it, and we took many, many photos, and then to release it. Now, this is important. You also probably, in most states, even though you're with a child, you're going to need, as an adult, you're going to need a fishing license. So check the requirements in your state, because you don't need to take a child fishing out there. And most days, they even have free days, probably, and sometimes some states even free weeks, where you can go out there, because now it's just getting that child interested, but many times getting the parent interested. And it's just, they're rewarding experiences. Now, this is the year, and I know this because Gabby's 7 years old. She's going to realize that there are fish way larger than bluegills out there, and then a new adventure begins. So, how about birding? You see, for me, I get to film often. You can check out my episodes on Joey B TV. But don't go there now. You need to listen to this show. And I film often with my friend Giselle Smisco, the Avian Wildlife Center. And she is amazing with birds. But I have that opportunity to bring people there. Now, in the backseat of my truck, and this is where Gabby sits, because this show is about getting somebody into the outdoors, I have a Peterson field guide on birds. So it's on the back seat, and we'll be going somewhere to an adventure, just whatever we're doing. And as we're going to that adventure, Gabby will see a bird, and she's excited. And it may be a cardinal, a catbird, doesn't matter. And she begins to describe it out loud, and I'm all right. I said, all right, go find it in a book. And then she's looking at it, she's describing it, and then she's excited. She goes, I found it. And then she'll begin to tell me about that bird. Now, if you personally are a rookie birder, you don't know much about it, once again, you can learn as they learn. It is quality time spent together. And I also want you to know, everywhere in the country during migration, there are many hawk watches, and you could find yourself to one of these hawk watches. And birders in general are some of the nicest, and I say this often on my shows, birders are some of the nicest people. You will go there, especially if you show up with a kid, and they're gonna, you might have the junky pair of binoculars or not a binoculars at all, and they will put a pair of binoculars in your hand. They will have a bird in their spotting scope, and some of their scopes cost thousands of dollars, and they would rather see the smile on that child's face, and yours, by the way, they will let you get in there as well, and they love to share this information. So a perfect place to take a child is during migration to one of the hawk watches. And I'm going to let you know that there are many birding clubs. And I actually recently attended a bird club meeting that I hadn't been to probably in 10 years. Just popped in, said hello to a number of scientists, number of friends, number of just average people, of which I believe I am too. And just birders that are, and they are the nicest people on earth. Now, the time that we travel in my truck, well, Gabby and I, because now here's the bonding thing. We tell stories together. I start a story, few sentences. She continues a story, few sentences. And we just keep bouncing back and forth. And sometimes she starts a story. We play math games, matching games, rhyming games. I let her be creative because the travel time is for us to have fun. So it's fun time. It's a bonding time. So it's not the destination and the kid going, are we there yet? Well, no, no. Sometimes we don't want to get there because there is so much fun going on. And how many times will you get one-on-one or one-on-two, depending on how many children are there, with your children? Now, one of the next things we got introduced to together was kayaking. See, kayaking to me is a large part of my life. We film, and I have a fleet of kayaks, so sometimes we're taking film crews out. You know, I've mentioned this on the show. We had to film from island to island, so kayak. And sometimes it's arduous to get all that gear there, but nothing better than that. And it's also one of my favorite leisure time activities. Well, I've got a sit-on-top kayak that last year I was able to put Gabby sit right in front of me. And it's funny. I had a paddle in super slow motion around her head, but it didn't matter. And from time to time, she'd go, can I paddle? And hey, you just put the paddle in her hands and it's not going to last long because a young child's strength, hey, not there, but it doesn't matter. And I don't even care which direction we were going at that point. But the most important thing is to make sure that you and your child have a PFD on, your personal flotation device, some of you call a life vest. But yes, now we have classy names. And I'm going to let you know that my PFD is on before I get in the water. It doesn't matter where we go. In skinny water, and that means real, like it might be ankle-deep water to heavy water, which is very thick water. Those are my terms that I always use. And I'm going to let you know that it is so important, once again, the safety side, because some states' law says that the PFDs only have to be on the craft. I don't understand this. If you flip over, say you're in a larger boat, or you flip over in a kayak, if your PFD is on you and it's floating away, it is not helping you. So, hey, it's important. But again, the safety side and then the role model side is it's on all the time. Well, I'm letting you know that. Let me give you an example of our first trip. So Gabby and I get out into this lake, but we're in this little lagoon off the edges. We're going to begin to paddle out. And we paddle, I'm not joking, maybe 50 feet. And an osprey with a fish is up in a tree and takes off and flies. And we are just looking at it. We turn the corner, and that's why we call this place now Osprey Alley. Another osprey comes zipping down over our shoulders. So we're paddling going in one direction. And he flies maybe 10 feet off the water and 10 feet in front of us for about 50, 60 feet. And she got, wait, think about this. You could hear the excitement of my voice. I got this great look at it, but she got this, like, you want to talk about selling a kid, and here you go. Say you're the rookie birder, and you don't know what it is. Well, you guys get back to the truck because we tend to identify what's there by color and size and shape, and you get back, and you learn with your child as well. Now, on those trips, we got to see so many turtles. We filmed many of the turtles, and there was a ton of fish jumping, so guess what? We shall return because, I mean, many of my kayaks are geared up with fishing rod holders on it. We will return because now Gabby will be old enough to fish. Because it's funny, our last kayaking trip last year, because she fished with me, she's kayaked with me, and she put this together and she goes, wouldn't it be so cool if you could fish from a kayak? And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Hey, you got it. And next year, yes, I will add some fishing rods onto that adventure as well. Now, some of you may go, well, you don't own a fleet of kayaks. Just about every outdoor store rents kayaks, rents canoes. I'm going to let you know that if you are a rookie water person, canoes sometimes are a little bit tougher because I have seen many canoes flip rookie people. I've seen experienced people, and I've told the story before, but two of my good friends, Coach Benya, Coach Harb, up on my friend Nancy Nolte, Nick Nolte's, the after his sister's farm, were out there. I fish there often. I just hang out on Nancy's farm often. And these two guys flipped in a canoe because they both lean the same way going after a fish. You don't have to be fishing just to lean the same way. So I'd say that make sure you have that. Make sure that you are sunblock. Sunblock does work better than sunscreens. You've got enough water, energy, that means some food. So water shoes, and water shoes you can buy inexpensive pairs right now. Make sure you have a change of clothes, because I'm going to let you know that some of you may get a little wet. Hey, and it's summer, it's summertime fun. It's spring to me and late fall as well. Depends on where you live in the country and where we're traveling to as well, because sometimes we travel and film in warm climates. And I'd say bring that towel that's there and change of clothes. Now, so up next for Gabby and I this year, think about this one. The adventures continue. She will be paddleboarding with me because last year, I mean, I needed to add a paddleboard to my fleet, and I knew this, and I actually filmed, and I purposely waited this way. I filmed an adventure, which is not on Joey B TV yet. We're still in the editing phase because we've been editing the documentary Glow of Freedom. We've been spending so much time with that editing. And I filmed with a paddleboard expert, and I wanted to learn as much as I could before I purchased. See, that is getting the best for your buck, because when you know about it, you know what to purchase. Well, I actually am going to be purchasing a cooler from Angle. No, I don't get any money from them. But Angle actually has a cooler that fits on the paddleboard and has fishing rod holders. And I'm purposely buying that for me to be fishing off my paddleboard. Hey, I don't always fish. You know, sometimes I just want to get out there. But the cooler becomes a waterproof case. So if I need to carry some cameras, gear, my lunch, you want to keep things waterproof. Some of the coolers are made to do that, and you can lash them down, but that cooler will be the perfect seat for Gabby. Hey, we probably will just put her on the paddleboard as well, because we'll go back to that lagoon where the water level is low and there's no current and it's nice and easy, and we can get out there and learn together. See, that's what it's all about, and learn together, because she's going to have to learn a much better balancing act on a paddleboard. So am I, with this extra weight when she shifts and all that. Hey, think about this. I have probably kayaked 8 million bajillion times and have never flipped in a kayak, never saying that I won't. Never flipped on my paddleboard, but only had it for a year. So this will be our challenge out there. But again, PFDs are on, and we're going to just love to be there. Now, for those of you that have access, living near an ocean, or you're taking a vacation over to the ocean, say you have a younger child, 3-4 years old, and this is when Gabby was this age, we would do wave jumping. And it is just what it sounds like. Go to the water that's, you know, ankle deep on the child, and we are jumping over, and I'll just say 6-inch waves, 1-foot waves, getting knocked down by them, just having fun and giggling. But the most important thing is when you go back to the blanket. See, there's this, always this, again, the next outdoor generation, there's always this time to give a little bit of knowledge that's there. And you start to talk about, hey, did you notice that as we were doing it, we got pushed to one side? Did you notice that the waves came in at an angle? Did you notice, and again, if they're 3 and 4, but as they're getting a little bit older, but you could just still say those comments, but as they're getting a little bit older, because now Gabby and I, we go back to the blanket, and I'll just talk about the tides. Did you notice the high tide? And I'll talk about 4 tides in a day and give the exact times and so on. And then I'll start to talk about waves. Hey, and if you want to know, like you're saying, well, I don't have knowledge on this stuff, you can go to my podcast number 34, and that is Ocean in the Motion. No, Motion in the Ocean. Oh, got a little confusing on there. But don't go there now, because you got to listen to this show, because, hey, you need to know all about this. And, hey, when you're building sandcastles, and yes, it is fun to be in the wet sand and build sandcastles, you find lots of seashells, and every kid wants to collect every seashell they ever find in the history of the world. And I know that. Well, guess what? There are field guides, the Peterson field guides, and I use Peterson. I mean, you can use any brand that you want. I'm just accustomed to them. I know they work well, not expensive. And there are field guides on seashells. So you, once again, you may not know, you and your child, you can learn all about the different animals that were once inside those shells. Now, you know, my expertise is on grizzly bears and wolves. I am not the ocean expert, but hey, like I said, when I am learning, I can in turn teach more, so I want to be able to learn. Now, I've had an opportunity to ride horses my whole life, you know, growing up, family farm, the two ponies, Thunder and Lightning, graduated up to an Appaloosa Moon, Clarence, greatest horse in the history of the world, by the way. And, you know, doing my research out in the Rocky Mountains on a non-native plant species. And we would, think about this, we would ride horses to work. So we're in the Rockies and we've got to get to a higher place. And there were caballeros, South American cowboys that actually work for us. You know, I could hitch up my own horse, but guess what? This is part of their job. You'd show up. We lived on a ranch. You'd walk out to the barns and their horses were ready and you'd go off there. Now, you'd be riding through the Rockies for the day. So there's your commute. And I don't know what it's like to work. Well, my commute sometimes was the horse in front of me went a little too slow on the trail. Just kidding. Now, I gave Gabby a horseback riding lesson. So here you go. If you've never ridden a horse, it's okay. Just do your homework. Go to a stable without the child first. And watch some lessons being given because you want to make sure that the people there are experts in what they do and experts in working with children. Well, I did just that. I took Gabby. Well, think about her first riding lesson. Gabby went there, went to the corral. Dakota meets her, and that's who. Think about this. Dakota, what a beautiful name for someone who rides horses. And she gave Gabby the lead rope, and Gabby led the horse right out of the corral towards the stable. Now think about this. Horse's name is Chief, good old horse name. But Chief was one of those older, gentle horses that was perfect for kids. You see, certain horses are selected to give children the best riding experience. Now, Gabby goes there and they go right in. And the first thing they do is she's taught to groom the horse properly. See, here is part of everything that you do. There's a whole sequence. Well, Gabby puts a riding helmet on because safety, and safety is important, and Dakota reinforced this. She was taught how to saddle and rein the horse. And then the actual, again, to me, the lesson was when she arrived there with a smile on her face, but all of this, but the actual riding lesson when she got there. Now it's time, and I am taking photos, and again, you could see many of them on Twitter and Facebook and all that. And once she had that lesson, and I do remember there in the arena, and Chief is just moving at a slower pace, but still doing a great job with her. And then all of a sudden that Chief is there and Dakota says, "Hey, Gab, you want to get Chief to go a little faster?" She's like, "Yeah." She goes, "Okay, let's trot." And right away, Gabby's like, "Yeah." And the excitement is you're watching this horse move a little faster with a smile on the child's face, Dakota right alongside. And then when they were done, Gabby learned that you needed to cool the horse down. You needed to take the saddle off, like all of these things. And then she took that lead rope. And once again, she took the horse back to a corral and let let Chief into the corral and lesson done. Well, guess what? We're going to be scheduling her next riding lesson very soon. The experience for her was awesome. I'm going to let you know that horseback riding is an expensive venture, even if you're renting. So I'm going to let you know that, hey, some things do cost money, and I'm square with you guys all the time. Now, let's go to some wintertime activities. Because you see, outdoor people don't stop just because it's cold. They have this new invention right now, and hopefully you guys have heard of it. They're called clothes. All you need to do is to put many layers on, and you can go outside and spend lots of time. Yeah, I'm joking. But hey, you make sure that you have some wicking layers, a layer against your skin, and you make sure that your head, hands, feet, they stay warm, and most important, get outside. So you see, Gabby and I, and Gabby happens to live near the ocean, so think about this. There are not many hills, because there aren't any where I live, mountains, though I have mountains near me. There aren't many hills near the ocean, so we actually had to go in search of, part of our adventure was in search of a hill we found a hill that we now call Gabby Joey Hill, and we actually will go sledding there, and it's just it's a great thing. And snow near the ocean doesn't last for a long period of time either. That's another thing. Now, we do some hiking. I mentioned this in the wintertime, photoing the deer. They do make snowshoes, and I have snowshoes that are from the tiniest little snowshoe to snowshoes for women and children to snowshoes for men. Again, I have the whole fleet. But if you don't have them and you've never done it, and let me tell you this. It's a snowshoe on a flat trail, and it's a great thing. And you can rent snowshoes. So those outdoor stores, just about all of them will rent them. Well, near where Gab lives is the Jenkinson's Aquarium, wintertime activity. You go there, and now all of a sudden you're in an aquarium where the docents that are there, and I'm going to let you know, if you go to a zoo, you go to a, some type of an aquarium, the docents of people that are there, many of them are volunteers, but they have learned, and they are so knowledgeable, and they are great people that you can ask questions about. Well, at Jenkinson's, I've actually filmed with the seals, so I've been in this, we'll call them, in the seal tank with them on one of my adventures. But at the local zoos, even in the winter, yes, animals do come out in the wintertime, so going to a zoo's. Well, one of the things we looked, winter adventure, Gabby and I, we found a fishing flea market near her. Now, I'm going to let you know there were very few kids there, so she was one of the few kids. And everywhere we walked, Gabby got free stuff. She's getting free lures, free this. And it was just, you know, looking for something to do that excites your mind in the outdoors, you know. And we always get the opportunity to sit outside and sit by the fire. And there is fire safety. So I'm going to let you know that it's just not because, again, I think it's wonderful in school that kids learn about stop, drop, and roll and about in the house and all. All that's great. But I'm going to let you know that there is more to that in fire safety when you're sitting by a fire. So that is important to you. Now, if you have never had your first family camping trip, here's my advice. First thing is, you know, go out with an experienced camper. Go to an approved site. Just every state park has approved sites. They have fire rings, and there are laws that you must keep the fire within the ring and not make it too big. Hey, so make sure, because again, you're teaching safety. And if you're just learning on your own, the great thing about car camping is if you're a little bit afraid, well, you can go back to the car. And I would not recommend this. And I'd say learn about food. And there, I have many shows about bears. So you can, because I've done research on grizzly bears, but just about black bears out in the wild and food and campsite safety. And I've got many podcast shows on this. But don't leave there now to listen to those because you need to hear this. But I think it's important that you get out there and do that. Now, whatever the outdoor experience, have fun. Be positive. Teach safety. Learning for all ages. Share time. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures with our next generation. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.